On today's episode, we're talking all about the Florida black bear, a subspecies of the American black bear found only in Florida.
Welcome to Naturally Florida, a podcast about Florida's natural areas and the wild things that live here. I'm Lara Milligan.
And I'm Shannon Carnevale.
This podcast is brought to you by UF IFAS Extension in Polk and Pinellas counties.
Real quick, before we get to the episode today, Lara and I wanted to say a quick thank you to everyone who filled out our annual survey on the podcast. Your feedback is what helps us continue offering this podcast month after month. And we got so much great information, and we just wanted to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
How about this weather, Shannon? Oh my gosh, it's my favorite.
Oh my gosh, I know. It's been so beautiful outside, and it's made me start thinking about fall camping.
Oh, that sounds dreamy. I'm not quite ready to venture there yet with small children. I know some are like that. But I know you do a ton of camping, especially when it gets nice out.
Yes, I'm planning a backpacking trip right now.
That's fun. Are you going where there's bears?
I am going where there is a chance of bears, yes. Which means I'm staying in Florida, because they're everywhere.
Great segue to today's presentation. Bears are everywhere, or can be. So yeah, let's talk about bears. Shannon is kind of like our in-house bear expert. I say, I don't really have bears in Pinellas County. I mean, we did in 2021, but like Shannon said, like anywhere in Florida, you can see them, but she gets a lot more questions about bears. So Shannon, let's talk about, well, what bears do we even have in Florida? Let's start there.
I think that's a great place to start because I think it surprises a lot of people when they hear that we have bears, but we actually have our own subspecies of bears, the Florida black bear. And that's the only bear we have in Florida. There is subspecies of the American black bear.
Yeah. And as the name suggests, our bears in Florida are black. They can have like a brown, tannish snout, or what is sometimes also referred to as the muzzle. And occasionally they'll have like a little what we call blaze or kind of like patch of wand on their chest. But otherwise, they're going to be black like you would envision with a black bear.
Which is easier than black bears in the rest of the country, because black bears can actually be all sorts of colors in other parts of the U.S. But in Florida, our Florida black bear is always predominantly black in color.
Thank you for clarifying that, Shannon. And as we kind of started off the episode talking about camping and they're everywhere, but like, where are they really?
Yeah. And like I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, you can really see a black bear anywhere in Florida. However, there are still some hotspots, areas that have more bears or more frequent encounters with bears. And if you're someone who likes to learn more visually, we're going to put a map of these bear populations in our show notes. So please check that out. But just to give you an idea of where the more populous areas of bears are, I would consider that to be Ocala, down in Big Cypress, and up in the Apalachicola area of the Panhandle. And as you mentioned, Lara, I do get calls about it here in Polk. I wouldn't say frequently, but enough that I've had to learn up about bears.
Yeah, not so much the case with us over here because we don't have any place for bears to be. But we do have a lot of people here, as does the whole state of Florida, right? Our population has been growing. We've talked about this in many of our other episodes. And actually, even though human populations have been growing over the years, especially since like 1960, similar observations have been made with bears. So there was an estimated 300 bears in the 1970s, and the estimate is now over 4,000 today. So it's, I don't know, that's exciting to me because typically we always hear, you know, more people, less wildlife, but that is a great, I think, conservation success story.
Yeah, I would agree. And so those 4,000 black bears, you might be thinking, oh my gosh, that's so many bears. And it is a lot of bears, but we still estimate that they're only occupying about half of their historic range in Florida. There's still a lot of opportunity for their population to grow. And they're seeing a lot of ongoing threats because of human populations that are also growing. So with that parallel growth of both bear populations and human populations exploding over the last, say, 50 years, you're going to have more encounters with bears today than you ever would before. And so according to FWC, bears are frequent or common in almost half of our state's area. In fact, only 22% of the state would be classified as rare habitat for the Florida black bear, and that's predominantly in Southeast Florida and the Florida Keys, any of those areas that are so built out that they don't have a lot of natural habitat.
Yeah, and like Shannon mentioned, even though it's rare, there's still always a chance. And I know the males in general tend to wander a lot further. They have a much larger, what we call home range, basically the space they need to find what they need in order to thrive and survive. And males are really known for wandering throughout the state. I mean, that's, we had the sighting I referenced before in 2021 here in Pinellas County is like, it of course went viral on the news because we never have bears here, but sure enough, it was a male just wandering around.
Yeah, and male bears aren't the only ones that are known to wander. So young bears that are just leaving their family group also wander because bears are so territorial that they need to go find their own habitat. And so they are also frequently seen in weird urban areas that they really shouldn't be in because they're like, hey, there's no bears here. Maybe I can survive. And then it's like, wait a minute, there's a lot of people here. We've got some good examples of that in pretty much every urban area of the state. You'll see these individual bears because bears tend to be solitary by nature.
Yes, most of them are found in kind of this solitary state by themselves, except when they're in family groups. So that would be the female with her offspring or pairs during the mating season. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute.
And so I think this is a really great transition to some bear behavior and bear biology. Most people have this thought in their head that bears are predators, and when they stand up on their hind legs, they're looking to attack or they're trying to hunt. And while that might be true of other bears in our country, it is not the case for Florida black bears. They have eyesight just like us. So when they're standing up on their hind legs, they're just trying to get a good look around, make sure there's not a threat around. They tend to be pretty skittish. But we've got great news when it comes to their diet as well. It's estimated that 80% of a Florida black bear's diet is actually made up of vegetation. So think leaves, nuts, berries, grass seeds, things like that. Another 15% would be insects or things that are in the other things they're eating. So think bees, wasps, termites, ants. If they're going after saw palmetto berries, there might be a bunch of ants or some bees around. They'll go ahead and eat those also. And I will say, just like, I don't know, we say this about all of our wildlife things, Lara, I'm pretty sure there's always the opportunistic feeding that happens. So it's estimated that about 5% of Florida black bear's diet is made up of meat of some kind. It's generally going to be carrion or roadkill things or things that died for other reasons. It could potentially be roadkill possums or armadillos, things like that, which can cause some issues with roadways, but we will get into that later.
Yeah, and we should also mention human food as well, because that is not only a source for potential bear conflict, but also a source of food for bears in some areas. So it's really our human food gives the bears a lot more calories than what they would naturally be scavenging for. So like, for example, if they were to get into a 25-pound bag of dog food in your garage or out on your porch or something, that's equivalent to 10,000 acorns, mm-hmm. right? In the days and weeks of efforts to acquire those acorns. So bears are smart. They're obviously going to choose the dog food over scavenging for acorns.
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, there was a bear that got into a garage in Lake Wales near me, and they did get, I think it was like a 50-pound bag of dog food. And they dragged it out into the yard and just sat there for hours eating kibble, just hours and hours. Yeah, I mean, you just think about how many acorns and how much effort they would have had to go through to get that same amount of calories. And it's a no-brainer.
Right. Yeah. And they have a super good sense of smell, like way better than even dogs, right? From what I understand.
Oh, yeah. They can smell food from over a mile away is the estimate. And it's important to remember that they smell food that we might not think is food. So garbage right. is a very common food source for bears in areas with a lot of people. Think about, you know, an old greasy pizza that you only ate half of and you threw the rest of it in the trash can. Like, of course they're going to try and get into your trash and get that pizza. Because, I mean, there's a reason we like pizza and bears like it too.
We might have just had that last night. Okay, so anyway.
And, you know, we all joke about, you know, eating extra treats and calories around the holiday season, right?
Of course.
Yeah, so bears do the same thing. They just don't know it's because of the holidays. Bears enter a phase called hyperphagia, which is simply to say that they're trying to pack on the pounds before hibernation. Bears in Florida don't do true hibernation, but in the fall months leading up to their winter denning time, they're known to eat up to 4 times their normal daily caloric intake. So during the rest of the year, they might eat 5,000 calories a day, but during hyperphagia in the fall, they are known to eat up to 20,000 calories a day, which just emphasizes that need to get all that human food if they can and why it's important for us to keep track of that. So I mentioned that our bears in Florida don't have true hibernation, but they do something called winter denning. Lara, do you want to tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. So denning is kind of more, I think, commonly associated with pregnant females. And for our Florida black bears, pregnant females will den for the entire winter. But if you're a female that's not pregnant or a male, they will den in dense vegetation, but tends to be a shorter period of time, whether it's a few weeks to a month. Now, for the pregnant females, their cubs will be born in the den during that time. And because of that, they tend to select dens in areas that are a little bit more protected than other bears, again, that might not be pregnant and not as concerned about protecting their cubs.
Right. And while they're denning, they're not fully asleep like you would expect for hibernation, like you might have seen in cartoons or in movies. Florida black bears are just, they just kind of get sleepy and they're just like, they're just hanging out in their little denny area.
Sounds dreamy. Okay.
Anyway. It does, doesn't it? Like, I could use some of that. Anyway.
So. Time change. Okay.
Yeah. So we talked about cubs being born in the den, but we didn't really talk about what leads up to that with the breeding season and everything. So real quick, the breeding season tends to run from June to August, and cubs are born in late January, early February. Mama and her 2 or 3 cubs will stay in the den until about March or April, and then they will first emerge and start teaching her little ones all about finding their omnivore diet in the Florida ecosystems.
Love it. Now, Shannon, one question that we, I think, often get asked, bears, alligators, regardless of the animal, is it a boy or is it a girl? And how do you tell them apart?
Your best indicator when they are mature is their size. So bears are sexually dimorphic, which just means that the male and female look different. Males are much larger than females at maturity, but as the juveniles, they're roughly equal in size. So most people who are looking at a bear, if they saw one in the wild or if they're seeing one in a news report because he was found downtown, if it's just an isolated bear and you've only seen one, it's going to be hard to know the difference based on size. But one thing you can do is you can look at their ears and have a decent idea on if it's a juvenile or an adult. So yearlings will have long, almost Mickey Mouse ears on a really slender, young-looking face, where the larger, more mature bears will, in comparison to their face, have much smaller ears. So if they look like their ears are just too big for their head, it's a pretty good sign that you're looking at a yearling or a young juvenile bear.
I love that. I never heard that before, so that's very helpful.
Oh, they're so cute. Go look at some pictures of juvenile bears. They all have these big ears.
I totally won't be doing that. So when we're not looking at a yearling and we're looking at mature bears, there's some crazy impressive records that have been set in terms of the largest bears. On average, males are anywhere from 250 to 450 pounds compared to the females, which, as Shannon mentioned, are much smaller. So 125 to 250 pounds. Now, when we're talking about these record-breaking bears, we have a male that was documented in Seminole County in 2015 with 760 pounds, which I can't even, like, that's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's almost double the natural size of a male bear.
Crazy. Okay. And then the female, the largest documented, was in Lake County, and that one was 460 pounds, which is also crazy impressive. So again, yes, these are outliers, but refer more to the averages that I talked about for kind of what to expect in terms of size.
And Lara, do you know what ties these two records together?
Are these like very urban, like they're getting into garbage?
Yes. These are garbage bears. And so according to FWC, bears that habitually feed on human-supplied food or pet food can become abnormally large because of how fast they're able to intake those calories compared to their more naturally feeding friends and family. So Seminole and Lake County are just south of Ocala, if you're not familiar, and north of Orlando. So this is a very populated area in neighborhoods that, you know, they're in foresty areas. They're beautiful, but it's also wonderful habitat for bears.
Which I think is actually a really good segue for what we want to talk about next, which is how do we not make garbage bears, basically? So I don't know, Shannon, where should we even start?
There is a lot. So I think we should start with what is a conflict versus an encounter, because I feel like this might be something that especially new residents to Florida or residents who may be moving to more rural areas of the state might not have a firm grasp on. So if you listened to our alligator episode, you heard us refer to conflict being more than just seeing an alligator. And it's the same thing with bears. Seeing a black bear in Florida is something that we should be excited about. It should be a good opportunity to respectfully view a major wildlife species in our ecosystems. That conservation success story that Lara was talking about. It's so cool to have a bear encounter. These occur from safe distances, safe, respectable distances. If the bear changes its behavior, you are too close. So you want to be watching from a distance. Maybe they're in a tree. Maybe they're walking by. They're in a natural area. They're not on your street necessarily. But even if you do see one in an urban area, something that I learned through scouts, Lara, was to let bears do bear things. As long as the bear is doing bear things, let it happen. Stay at a safe distance. Observe it. That is an encounter. A conflict is when a bear starts doing human things. So if they start eating garbage, or if they're coming up to you or your pet, or if they're not scared of you when you make a bunch of noise and they're in a neighborhood, or they've been in your garbage bin, or they dragged your grill out from your patio and they're like munching down on the little crusty bits left on the barbecue grill, those cross the line into conflict territory. And that's when we want to make sure that we call FWC.
Yes, and we will be sure to put the FWC and just, again, that's Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission contact information for their wildlife alert hotline in the show notes. This is for conflicts only based on what Shannon just told you. Or, of course, 911 if there's a true emergency.
Yes. And before making that phone call, I'd like to emphasize, get to a safe, secure location. If they are destroying your fence or eating your garbage, or if they got into dog food in your garage, let it happen. Go inside. Lock the door. Don't try to scare them away if they're clearly not scared of you. Get safe, then call FWC.
Good clarifying point. Yes. And so, I mean, Shannon just kind of alluded to some of the stuff that we want to also talk about in terms of kind of how to avoid these conflicts. So first and foremost, secure what we call attractants. That would be your trash can. We've probably said trash can, I don't know how many times this episode, and or garbage. If you are in an area like what we would call bear country, if you know there's bears in the area, it's worth investing in a bear resistant enclosure of some type or a bear proof garbage receptacle.
If that's allowed.
Thank you. Yes.
Which is a great clarifier, because that is another call to action. If you have a lot of bear incidents in your area and you're not allowed to get a bear resistant trash can, consider talking to your elected officials and see if you can get some permission to use bear resistant trash cans.
Yes. And as we've said time and time again, other food attractants, whether that's pet food, your bird feeders and the associated bird seed that you are putting in those bird feeders, any ripe fruit, again, fruit trees, or any type of food that can be attracting these bears needs to be removed and brought inside to an area where the bears cannot access.
Yes. And I think it's important to bring up that if you have any of these items in your yard that is attracting a bear, the first time it happens, it's an educational opportunity. You need to secure your attractants. That's what FWC would tell you. Secure your attractants. If you don't secure your attractants and there's a repeated bear issue, we may have crossed a line into illegal territory. So just like we talked about in the alligator episode, a fed gator is a dead gator. A fed bear is a dead bear. these animals that get accustomed to eating people things will keep coming back. And often that conflict species is euthanized. They cannot relocate a problem animal to another area where it could cause problems. So make sure if you have noticed more bears in the area and they have gone after your bird seed, you need to change your behavior. You need to pull that bird seed in. When we're talking about species that could then become a danger to people, bears, coyotes, alligators, even raccoons, that repeated attractant, that's when we cross the line into illegal feeding, even if it's not intentional.
Yeah, I think that's really good to clarify. And so that was kind of like protecting you and your property. But if you have pets, there's, again, similar recommendations that we made, like for coyotes. So bears are most active at dawn and dusk and throughout the night. So if you can, try and walk your pet during the daytime. If you do have to walk your pet during these hours when the bears are active, we recommend short leashes. Again, we talked about that with coyotes, like the 6-foot leash is what we recommend, not the kind that go out forever and wrap around the mailbox and trip people. And just if you're letting your pet just out into your yard, make sure you just check the yard with a flashlight. Be loud, make noise. They, again, should be scared of loud noises. And just make sure you're checking for animals before you let your dogs out.
Absolutely. So if you haven't noticed the theme, most of our animals that could present conflict issues, it's all the same recommendations for all of them. So they should be fairly easy to remember at this point. I will say that one that is a little bit more unique to bears, and depending on the area, maybe raccoons, is that if you're out camping, you need to make sure to secure your food while you're camping also. You can always reach out to the state parks or the state forest and ask how common bear encounters are and if you need to do anything specific. I would say the most important thing to know about bear conflict out in natural areas is if a bear does come into your camp and you don't know what to do, what is our big answer? Lara, do you play dead?
I would say that's what a lot of people would say that we do. And it's unfortunate that that's kind of what's gotten out there, what a lot of people think they should do. But no, that is not what we recommend.
We do not recommend playing dead because the only meat that black bears tend to eat is meat that's already dead. So be very alive, be big, group together with whoever you're with, be loud, keep your pet on that short leash if you have them, and just be intimidating and scare that bear away.
Yes, very helpful information, Shannon, and really important that you teach especially young children not to run, because that's going to for sure be their first instinct. But in that case, the bear's first instinct is going to be to chase, or could be their first instinct. So again, back away slowly, find a safe place to be.
And then call FWC.
Thank you. So kind of to sum all of that up in a few short words would be the saying, stash that trash and scare that bear. If you don't remember anything else from this episode, that would be a great one to remember. And we will link some really helpful resources and links from the Florida Fish and Wildlife website in the show notes that talks a little bit more about that. But Shannon, I think we'll end on a happy note. I guess it's a happy note. The Florida black bear, we talked about their population exploding. What we did not talk about is that they were formally listed as a threatened species for a long time, from 1974 through 2012. But then they were delisted because their populations were doing so well and have rebounded and have remained unlisted to this day. So that is awesome. Again, conservation success story. So we're happy to share all this information with you about Florida black bears, and check out our show notes if you want to learn more.
Thanks for listening to Naturally Florida, a podcast about Florida's natural areas and the wild things that live here. Stay updated on new episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast platform. If you enjoyed today's episode, consider sharing it with a friend. Naturally Florida is produced by your hosts, Shannon Carnavalli
and Lara Milligan.
If you have questions or suggestions, submit them online at naturallyfloridapodcast.com. This podcast is brought to you by the University of Florida's Institute of Food and Agricultural Sciences Extension, an equal opportunity institution. Thank you for listening.